Welcome to Painting the Midnight Oil Podcast with your host, Dan Oils.
It's another hot one. 92 degrees in here. Not as hot as it used to be in my house, though. So we finally had a local HVAC company come out. They're great. Came over last week to take some measurements. And the day that they took some measurements, they dropped off three AC units, two window AC units, and then one floor AC unit. So the house feels fine. The enclosed trailer, my podcast slash art studio, is not as cool. Someone asked me, they're like, I don't know how you're able to do that. And the truth is, it's not as bad. If I'm not recording, I have my ventilation fan in my ceiling. I have my floor fan. I do have electric that goes to my enclosed trailer. I did hire an electrician to run electric from my house to the trailer. So I have three outlets in here. So I have plenty of power. I have my own direct line. So in theory, I could run a portable AC unit if I wanted. They're just very expensive. So I don't want to invest $300 into a unit when, I don't really need it. The fan is pretty sufficient. Then again, I run my ventilation fan through the ceiling. So it's good enough, but when I'm recording, air gets real hot and real still in here, and I'm already sweating, and I've been here for like 5 minutes. Which is appropriate, because I'm going to be talking about my most recent painting, which is Beach Trip into Ocean City. It feels like I am baking in the sun at Ocean City. The view is far worse. I'm staring into my handmade portable recording booth. One reason why I love that painting, this particular painting meant a lot to me. And I like it for a lot of different reasons, which I'll get into this podcast. But one reason why I love this painting so much is because I took so many risks. It was just one risk after another. And it's really difficult to not think like that, or not think, oh man, what if this doesn't work out? Because you've invested so much time and energy, and so far at that point, everything has worked out to your liking. And then all it takes is one little mistake for you to possibly lose faith in the project, or for you to become very frustrated and potentially lose the dozens of hours that you've invested in it. Luckily, I wasn't thinking like that. I was able to shift away from the temptation of thinking like that. And over time, as the painting progressed, I just became more and more confident. And I was just like, I took this risk and I hit it. And I like how it turned out. So then I started gaining some more momentum, and I started to trust my vision, and I started to trust my ability. And I said, okay, well, what else can I do? How else can I challenge myself? What other risks can I take? What other calculated risks can I take that will add to the overall complexity and value and story of this piece? And so one question I want to ask you is, when was the last time that you took an artistic risk, for those of you that are artists? And for those of you that are not, when was the last time that you took a calculated risk? Now, I'm not talking about just like a random decision. When was the last time that you really thought about something? Maybe it was like a career change. That's a calculated risk. There's a cost-benefit analysis in a lot of decisions that we make, whether we're conscious of it or not. And, when was the last time that you really kind of went out on a limb, when you kind of exposed yourself and you became very vulnerable and you decided to go through with it anyways? And does it matter if it worked out or not? When was the last time that you did something like that? And I think those calculated risks are really important in life in order to find happiness and peace of mind, which is, a value and a pursuit that I'm constantly thinking about. Peace of mind, as I've mentioned many times in this podcast, that's like a true definition of success that I can't take full credit for. Again, I think episode one, I mentioned that I read that John Wooden, that was his definition of success. John Wooden being one of the most successful coaches in sports history. And I've always loved that. I think that's perfect. Achieving peace of mind, going to bed at night knowing that you gave that day your very best. And sometimes we don't make the right decision, and sometimes we fall down and make mistakes, but it's important to take those risks, because that's how you're going to get to achieving certain goals and achieving certain dreams. It's not going to be just by maintaining the status quo and doing what everyone else is doing. So you have to be bold. You have to take risks, but you have to take calculated risks. You have to really weigh the options and weigh the alternatives. And that's what I love about painting, is because it really encapsulates a lot of those values that I live my life by. And I really try to make a concerted effort to exercise and exhibit those values in my art to encourage you and encourage the viewer to do just that as well. So this painting was just filled with risk. And, you know, one reason why I love paintings and why I love art is that there's so much in our life that when we do something, it's really difficult to like take a picture of that or to, you know, hang that up on the wall, you know, figuratively and literally. I think it's a little bit easier now, you know, with smartphones and social media. And I think that our society does that very well. You know, we're very quick to post our highlights. But a painting, it's like, you know, that can exist for a long period of time. And it can really tell a very riveting and personal and vulnerable story that doesn't exist in my mind anymore. It exists in a more tangible medium that other people can sit and enjoy, hopefully, too. This entire collection was a risk. You know, the title of this piece is Beach Trip into Ocean City, and it was a play on words based on the name of the collection, which again is Tripping Down Memory Lane. And I talk a lot about Tripping Down Memory Lane. It's the actual name of the last episode. So if you haven't listened to that yet, please do, because this is going to make a lot more sense. But I took a lot of risks, and this was the first collection that I ever thought of. I thought of it like almost immediately as soon as I started painting. And one of the very first, well, actually, no, the very first oil painting, you know, I posted to my Instagram account at dan.oils. It's a painting of the New York City skyline in the background with a presumably father and son playing catch at a baseball field in Central Park. And I started to realize that, you know, that didn't excite me any longer. I wanted to add more imagination to whatever I was going to paint. And I started to realize that when I look at different monuments or I look at different landmarks, I imagine them in different ways. And my imagination will see it, or my mind will see it, and then my imagination will run with it and start to create these scenes in my head that I've always wanted to share with other people. Again, in the hopes to inspire other people to think differently, to see the world differently. Even though you may not see it in quote-unquote reality in front of you, you can see it in your mind's eye. And if you can see it in your mind's eye, that's half the battle right there. And then just using that as kind of your inspiration, as your reference point, to do whatever it takes. And that's like the fun part. Okay, well, how can I make this work? How can I turn this into a reality? What kind of people do I need to involve? What kind of tools do I need to develop? What kind of communication skills or leadership skills do I need to develop to make all this work together so it all comes to fruition? Now, when I was first thinking about this collection, there were several pieces that immediately jumped out at me. You know, different landmarks here in the Washington metropolitan area that I instantly knew that I wanted to run with in some capacity, some that I have thought about over and over again, most of which I don't think anyone has ever, at least publicly disclosed to me, how they viewed it. There's one idea that everyone has had this thought, I'm sure, at some point, which I'm not going to disclose at this point. But that is one of the more common ideas that you're going to see. But for the most part, the hope is, at least, these are all new ways of seeing landmarks and structures in a new way that people have seen millions of times. And that's like this fun challenge that I get. How can I do something differently that no one else has thought about? And that brings me a lot of excitement. And you have to do things that are exciting in order for them to be sustainable. You know, if I didn't find excitement in painting, I wouldn't come in here when it's 92 degrees and podcasts. Or I wouldn't come in here when it's 92 degrees and paint from 9 to 10 o'clock at night after I've been teaching, you know, high schoolers all day long. I don't mean to say use the term high schoolers like it's a negative, but it's just it's exhausting work sometimes. So the very first piece of this collection, Beach Trip into Ocean City, was actually a piece that I thought of at the absolute last second. I had found out that I had invasive melanoma just prior to this trip. And this is a family tradition that my family has maintained over the last few years. Now, my wife grew up going to Ocean City all the time. And she grew up in a similar area where I grew up. And, you know, both of our families, at least, you know, my family, we never traveled outside the United States. My wife's family, they did travel outside the United States, but they were very creative in how they could do that because both of our families didn't have a lot of money growing up. So a lot of their trips were day trips where they pack everyone in the Suburban and they pack all these lunches and they wake up really early. They drive down to the beach. They'd spend an entire day at the beach. They wouldn't buy any food while they were there. They'd eat their sandwiches and then they would be creative as far as finding like public showers and then they'd drive back home. Well, Ocean City was a very big part of my wife's life. And Ocean City wasn't a huge part of my life growing up, but some of my fondest memories are from visiting Ocean City. And it's a tradition that my wife and I have tried to continue on while we raise our two kids. And we've been doing that for the last few years. When we first started going, we would stay usually bayside. And if anyone has ever been to the beach with young kids, it's not always the most stress-free experience. In Ocean City, if you are not familiar with it, there is one highway, one major highway, one major thoroughfare that runs almost due north and south, and it is incredibly busy, as you can imagine. And when you're living or when you are renting a space on the bayside or the west side of that highway, and you have two young kids, and you have chairs, and you have plastic this, and you have plastic that, and you have all this junk that you're hoarding and bringing to the beach. You know, things that you're hoarding in your shed for, you know, 364 days of the year, and then you look at it for the entire year. It's always in your way, and then one day out of the year, you decide to get it all out and bring it with you to the beach. It fills up your entire car. You bring it with you, and then it's like your entire family and all this junk, and everyone has to, like, suck in their bellies so they don't get hit by a car while you're standing precariously on the brick median. It's not the most relaxing thing, let me tell you. If you've never been a part of that experience, you're not missing much. So during COVID, we were getting very restless, like everyone else was. And we were like, you know, these walls are getting closer and closer. We need to get out of this house. And we decided to rent a room at the Carousel. The Carousel, I believe, is on 117th Street, and it's right off the beach. And it was a game changer. It has completely changed my experience vacationing at Ocean City with the family because we go there, we wake up, or I wake up, you know, I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning during the school year, so I typically wake up at 5 o'clock on vacation, so I'll go out there. Well, first I'll wake up, walk across the street to Dunkin' Donuts, get some coffee, maybe a few donuts for the kids. And I'll sit on my balcony and I'll watch the sunrise. And it's great. It's right there. And then the kids get up and we walk downstairs and then we're instantly on the beach. And it's completely changed my experience vacationing at Ocean City. And so when I was on the beach, I had just found out that I had invasive melanoma. And I had a lot of feelings about it. I had a lot of thoughts, and it really wasn't the greatest place for me to be. But I didn't want to disrupt our vacation. We'd already booked it, and I was like, you know what? As long as I'm very careful about my exposure, then I'm going to go. And so I bought this really big hat. I bought all these UV protection shirts, and I was just very careful about, you know, staying under umbrellas and not really going any. Or not really staying out too long. But I walked out there to see the sunrise. I'm out there around like six something, and I'm walking around, and I decided to walk down the beach. I think this was like after the sun had finally risen from the east. I'm walking down the beach north, and then I get to a certain point, and I turn back around, and I'm walking back towards the carousel, and I'm looking up, and it was just such a beautiful scene. It was really before anyone had hit the beach yet, and the sun was coming up, so the carousel had like this little glow to it, and it was all by itself, and I'm just staring at the carousel, and you know, I'm thinking that word, and I'm like, carousel, man, that is like completely in line with what I have been thinking about as far as my first collection is concerned. And so I completely was not expecting to paint anything related to the beach, especially because I was expecting to approach this collection in chronological order of my life. So these landmarks that I first was introduced to when I was a kid and all the way up until current day, basically. But once I saw that, I was like, this is too perfect. And my mind just kept on running with different things that I could incorporate. I was thinking about all of these memories and all of these places that I've been to. And it was very therapeutic for me, very cathartic, because it helped me escape the reality of not really understanding what I was up against. And I started to realize too, you know, I've been talking the last few episodes about what art is to me. And, you know, my definition, my understanding is always changing. It's always evolving as I, you know, learn more and think about it more, and as I'm exposed to different ideas and experiences. But I started to realize that what I am trying to accomplish as an artist not only includes memories or capturing memories or capturing different experiences or highlighting my values, but I've decided that part of my, maybe not obligation, maybe not responsibility, but part of my interest in producing art is capturing culture too. And I think that really goes in line with my background as a history major and kind of using my art, using my paintings as almost like historical artifacts. I know that might sound like a little pretentious, but I think it is important for artists to do that. I think sometimes, yes, we need to, you know, focus internally, but I think it's also important for us to comment on what we see. What is the state of our society? What is the state of our culture? And use that to learn from, or use that as bookmarks within this current era. So when I first started painting this, my idea for it was very rudimentary. It was very basic. I had a couple ideas, a couple features, a couple elements that I had in my mind. And at that point, I really thought that was mostly, that was going to be most of the composition. But then as I started to progress and as I started to paint, I started to realize, just like I always do, that sometimes it's different on canvas than it is in our head. And you start to realize that certain components need to be balanced, need to be paired with something, or certain shapes dominate more than you anticipated, and you have to counter that. So when I was first painting this, I always knew that I wanted to incorporate the Ocean City logos in some capacity. And so that was one of the first, that was like the base of what I was trying to do. I knew I wanted the sunset. I knew I wanted the Ocean City logo. And so once I had established that, once I had established that, yes, I want to have the carousel as the feature, because that's where we've been staying for so many years now. And it's been a very fond place for our family. But I want to use the carousel moon bounce that is on the grounds as the hotel. And I just want to go and just run with my imagination as much as I possibly can and create almost a chaotic scene of seemingly unrelated elements. But at the same time, when you look at it, it makes sense. It's balanced. It's vibrant. And if you don't look at it too literally, all the pieces work well together. It's one cohesive, fluid scene. And so that was kind of my goal, is to provide the viewer with that experience. And then the closer that they look into it, they start to realize how much thought, hopefully, went into it and what these elements truly are. But at first glance, you wouldn't capture that. At first glance, it just looks like poetic chaos. That's what I was hoping to create. Again, going back to risks, I've realized that this is one of the most passionate values that I live my life by. And it's one reason why that is because I feel like so many people don't take risks. So many people are afraid to take risks. And that matters to me, because when you don't take risks, it means that you're not growing. You're not really treating life as an adventure. You're not seeing what you're capable of. And you're not ultimately fulfilled. You ultimately don't have peace of mind because you are constantly living your life with this what if kind of mentality. And when you go through life with this what if mentality, or I wish I did this, or I wish I did that, or I wish I could do this, or I wish I could do that, it makes for a very unsettled mind. And it makes for a very disappointing and unfulfilled existence. And if you live life like that, it leads to alcohol or drug abuse and very toxic behaviors that you are more likely to participate in to relieve your mind of those thoughts. And I say that from experience. And so one of the reasons why I've been able to be sober for so long is that I am always taking calculated risks. I'm always making sure that I am trying to pursue certain goals. And if I don't hit my goal, if I stumble, if I fall down, if I fail, I'm either A, going to learn from it and try again, so I have a more informed, a more educated, a more experienced approach, so I'm more likely to achieve it the second time around. Or I may try that and realize that, you know what? That's okay. I gave it my best shot. I don't need to pursue it anymore. I gave it my best shot. It didn't work out, but at least I know that I genuinely gave that my best shot. And then I can put it behind me and I can move on. And so I want my art to remind people to take those risks, whatever it is. That way you can live a more fulfilled life. That way you can have peace of mind. And according to my definition and John Wooden's definition, you can live a very successful life. Now, this podcast is a huge risk. You know, when I started this podcast, this was before any really noteworthy achievements were realized. And I did it anyways because I just had so much confidence that I would make progress. And I had no idea what that progress would be. But as someone who is 14 years sober and as someone who dedicated himself to, you know, 10 years of just grinding academically and achieved 3 degrees in 10 years, I knew that at some point I was going to make progress. I didn't know what that progress was. You know, there isn't this really concrete goal or concrete benchmarks that you can achieve over this journey, but I knew how to get better. I didn't know if my work would ever be celebrated or if my work would ever be in a gallery or if it would ever be purchased by somebody, but I knew that I would get better. And that's all I wanted to show people. And I wanted this podcast to showcase the highs and the lows. And I wanted to do that to inspire other people to pursue their own journeys, whether it's starting a business, whether it's going back to school, whether it's sobriety, whether it's whatever it is, whatever you have been obsessing over and you just, for whatever reason, haven't taken that first step. I wanted to show you that, look, I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to fall down. I'm going to be disappointed, but I'm not going to give up. And that's part of this journey. And that's part of achieving success. In fact, it's absolutely necessary to achieving success. I'm a firm proponent of learn by doing. And yes, there is a tremendous amount of value in learning from other people. But ultimately, different people are different people. and they don't share your strengths or your areas of improvement or your background or your beliefs or your environment. And all of us are different. And so everyone's wisdom and everyone's experiences are never going to truly fit with ourselves. And when we make mistakes, that can be very painful. And naturally, we want to avoid that pain. And so if we make mistakes that are painful, we're more likely to remember that lesson, and we're more likely not to duplicate it. Now, starting a podcast where I'm bearing my soul to whoever wants to listen, or and starting an Instagram account where I'm documenting every single painting that I've ever painted is a very vulnerable and exposed pursuit. But to be honest with you, it never seemed like a big deal, because I've conditioned my mind and I've been taking these calculated risks for so long, and I just inherently understand the value of those risks, that it's not a big deal at all to me, because I know that it is part of that formula to ultimately achieving my goal, or ultimately achieving that peace of mind, is just going for it. And if I hit that goal, then of course that's great. But if I miss, that's equally as beautiful, because it provides you a new experience. It provides you that range of emotion. It provides you that education and that value in improving and applying an improved approach to achieving that goal. And when you've had these multiple near-death experiences like I've had, it also reduces that fear, because you've been so close and you know what that's like, and you know that you're very fortunate to be alive. And so you just have a different perception of fear. It's more difficult to rationalize it. And that's what I want my art to showcase that. I want you to look at my art and see the fearlessness that's behind it, with the risks that I'm taking and the subjects that I'm doing and the canvases that I'm painting. I want that to be so clear, because ultimately that's what you have to be. You have to live your life like you don't have fear. Now, when you look at this piece, now with that, all that being said, there was another risk that I completely overlooked, that I was completely blinded from. And I didn't realize that there was a risk that after all of this thought, after all of this energy and time spent into this painting, I mean, this took me all summer. And it took me 91 hours from start to finish. And it was the 3-foot by 4-foot canvas. And I'm so grateful for this piece, because while I was dealing with all of my cancer stuff, I was able to just get in here and just get and lock myself away, literally, and just get lost in these visions and lost in this painting. So I didn't have to think about what I was going through. I didn't have to think about the potential future that was in store for myself and my family. And to this day, I am so proud of it, because it's something that I've never seen duplicated before. Now, I'm not an art history major, and I'm not really one to look at other people's art, because I don't want to be influenced by other artists one way or another. But I've never seen anything like this before. I know I'm biased. And I put so much of my soul into this painting, and it was during such a painful time in my life. And I put in 91 hours on a canvas that I've never attempted before. And there are so many people that visit Ocean City every single year. I think I remember reading that there are 8 million people that visit Ocean City every single year, which completely caught me by surprise. I didn't think it was nearly that many. And there were so many businesses that I am referencing in this painting that when I finished this, I told myself that this was going to be my break. This was going to be the piece that ultimately caught people's attention and was going to elevate me to where I wanted to go. That this was going to be the piece that I was going to start to develop a following, that I was going to have, you know, requests for commissions, that I was going to have businesses reach out to me, And ultimately, my vision was that this was going to be in the lobby or someplace in the Carousel Hotel. And I didn't realize that there was a risk of none of that happening. And that's exactly what happened. And I finished this right before school started. And that was my goal. I mean, I literally finished it, I think, the day before students were supposed to show up. It took me the entire summer. And I posted it. I didn't gain a single Instagram follower. Didn't get a single Instagram like from anyone that I didn't already know. Didn't get a single request. Not a single person reached out to me. And I only received one hit from my website in the immediate aftermath of posting that painting. And anytime you're on a journey, when you are chasing a really lofty goal, and anytime that you are reliant on your effort being reciprocated by somebody else, and anytime you are reliant on a particular audience showing support in any sort of way or any capacity, you're going to experience so many gut punches where you realize that the effort that you're putting into it is not being reciprocated nearly to the degree that you're putting forth. And that was quite possibly the biggest gut punch that I've experienced so far in this journey, because it just fell so flat. And it was a piece that I worked so hard on and a piece that I was so proud of. But there was so much value in experiencing that. And the last few episodes, I've kind of alluded to distancing myself from the expectations of others and distancing myself from the responses of others. And that painting really helped me get there. And I realized that, you know, one reason why I like painting is because there's been so many other goals that I've had where I've had to rely on buy-in from other people, and it just hasn't been there. And so with painting, it's like, it's just up to me. And it's only up to me. It's solely up to me whether I go in here at night and paint. It's solely up to me whether I come in here and podcast. There's nobody else that I can rely on to do that. And I love that because I love betting on myself. I love counting on myself. But you realize that ultimately, if I wanted to be a full-time artist, I would have to rely on other people to like my art. I would have to rely on other people to buy my art. And so as I mentioned in a recent episode, I had to stop thinking like that. I had to change the goalpost, so to speak, a little bit. Because if I'm ultimately trying to become a full-time artist, I have to ultimately win over other people. And that means that I could put in 91 hours on a project. I could be so satisfied with it. It can meet all of those boxes, all those check marks that I'm trying to hit of sharing memories, sharing experiences, sharing values, commenting on culture. I could do all of those things. I could put my heart and soul into it. I could invest 91 hours into it. And I could suddenly feel unfulfilled. I could suddenly feel disappointed. And that's not what I'm trying to feel. So I had to realize that, look, if I'm doing those things, regardless of how it's received, regardless if anyone's sharing it or liking it or buying it or talking about it, that piece, that project was still a success. And I'm actually very grateful for the lack of response to that piece, because it's just calloused my mind. And it's made me redefine my expectations. It's made me redefine my definition of success. And it's very important, so I'm able to maintain balance and I'm able to sustain this passion of mine that means so much to me.
Thanks for listening to the Painting the Midnight Oil podcast. Come back soon.